Hi, and welcome back to the Prepare Podcast. The Prepare Podcast is a Salvation Army podcast where we invite women of faith and in ministry to share their experiences and wisdom to help prepare and equip us in our faith pursuits and callings. I'm your host, Sarah McCoola, and this month I welcome Sharon Irving to the podcast. Sharon Irving will be our worship leader at the Rise and Shine Women's Conference in 2018. Sharon is on the worship teams at the Willow Creek Community Church in Barrington, Illinois, and the City First Church in Rockford, Illinois, and has been a Golden Buzzer winner on America's Got Talent. Sharon's a Chicago native that has a rich, musical, and justice-seeking upbringing that fuels her today. This is a great episode. Enjoy meeting our Rise and Shine worship leader, Sharon Irving. Hey, Sharon Irving, welcome to the Prepare Podcast. I sound very excited, and I am. So glad you're here.
So glad to be here. Hey, everyone out there listening.
Yay.
So excited.
To all our listeners, this is Sharon Irving, who is going to be our worship leader at the 2018 Arise and Shine Women's Conference, and we have invited her on to the Prepare Podcast so that you can get to know her and get excited with us about our time at Arise and Shine. So, Sharon, just give us a brief introduction on who you are.
Wow. Well, I just got chills because I'm so expectant and excited for what's to come. And I know it's a ways out, but I already feel just God at work. And I already feel things bubbling. I'm just a girl from the south side of Chicago, born and raised. I am an artist, a singer-songwriter, a poet. those are the things that I do and I believe God has called me to do. But I think more than that, I have a heart for using my music and my art to shift and change atmospheres, to bring hope, to bring life, to challenge, to take us out of our comfort zone and call us to, I know and believe each one of us has a unique and divine purpose on this earth. Mm-hmm. And I just long to see women especially thrive in their lane. And I've been doing music my whole life. I come from a musical family. My dad, for those out there that love jazz, he was the music director for Miles Davis back in the day. And
wow.
My mom grew... Yeah, pretty cool. You know, he's like a wizard. To this day, he's my go-to just when I need to recenter. Like, he's always done it for the love and for music for the love. And then my mom grew up singing in the church. And so I come from a very musical family. And when my parents got divorced, we moved in with my grandmother. And that's when I think I began to really discover my voice. And just, I needed an escape because there was a lot of transition. And, you know, when you're a kid, you kind of sense what's going on. And growing up on the South Side, there was a lot I was exposed to, you know, at a young age. And so I needed a space to process that. And so I began writing songs at a very early age and making up songs in school. I would get in trouble with the teachers and be like, Sharon's a great, she's so sweet, but she's always in her own world making up songs. So, I think that's why this year I'm just filled with, like, my heart is so full and I am always on the verge of tears thinking about all of the backstory because I just released my first album and it comes out of, you know, that journey that was hard, but, you know, I wouldn't trade it for the world because it led me to put together an album of 13 original songs as an independent artist. And I just, you know, I hope it inspires other artists and people that have a burning desire to create something, but they feel like they maybe don't have the resources or they don't have the backing. If I could do it, anybody can. So, so that's, you know, I'm freelance and I love getting to share the gift of music. And I lead worship over at Willow Creek on weekends and another church in Rockford called City First. Shout out to Willow Creek and City First.
Hey.
both in the Chicagoland area. Mm-hmm. Also working with the church Renewal in the city. So I'm just, you know, I'm kind of a nomad. I'm traveling around, but I love that. I love getting to you know, be in different places and meet people. People inspire the songs that I write. Real human stories, not sugarcoated, you know, no fluff. Like I love the real, the raw. And I'm not afraid of that. And I love, you know, I think vulnerability is strength. And so when people are vulnerable with their stories, I think that's what impacts the world. So real story.
Yeah, that's everything you just said. I'm just like, yes, yes, go on. Like,
sorry.
I just can't wait to see our women being led by you. I think it's just going to be so powerful. And I got to see you actually perform live at the Global Leadership Summit, where it was like, I was going to be able to view the summit from a remote location. Then last minute, I got, you know, got a ticket. So I got to be on like the ground floor. And so all of a sudden, Lecrae shows up and then you show up and we're just like screaming.
That was crazy. That I'm still processing that. Yeah. Actually happened. Yeah.
It was an awesome performance. And
thank you.
And even, you know, like that was a huge, you know, that was a big production. But then even watching your videos on your website, just with you and one other musician, like it's still the same power. So that's what I'm just excited to, you know, see you really your voice, the Lord using your voice and just a few musicians and just see what happens.
Yes, yes. You know, sometimes I always say less is more. Some of my favorite moments on stage have been really stripped down and intimate. I appreciate that encouragement. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's just jump into our regular format that we do on the Prepare podcast to help our listeners get to know our guests better and to hear just about their ministry and their life and their leadership, whatever that all looks like for the, you know, each guest is unique. But we ask three times for you to finish the following sentence. If you knew me, you would know. So, Sharon Irving, if we knew you, we would know.
Ooh, if you knew me, you would know that I love to eat.
Okay, go on.
All the food, all the things. I'm talking every genre, from sushi to Italian to soul food. I grew up on the South Side, so I love me some soul food. So that is, and I don't know where it all goes because it's gonna catch up with me
as we age. Yeah, as we age, they say like every decade, you without even changing your lifestyle, you gain 10 pounds. So.
I'm like, bring it on. I grew up in a house with curves. So I'm like, yes, give me all the curves.
So what do you have a favorite spot in the city that you, every time you're in town, you find yourself at or?
Ooh, yes, I do. It's a place and it's so not glamorous at all. It's not a fancy place, but it's called Miss Lee's. And this is like grandma. Okay. She's been cooking, I think, in the city for years. But she opened up her little soul food place and she's probably in her 70s or 80s. And she's like still the one that cooks. And it's just rare to find that. Like, you know, I mean, and she's got like 10 different dinners on the menu. And I'm like, how does she, you know, do this? And then she has this thing called jungle juice, which is like a juice with like 10 different, and I don't know what's in it, but it's like a secret recipe. So if you're ever, you know, I think it's Garfield Boulevard on the South Side, you've got to check out Miss Lee's.
Miss Lee's. All right.
Yes. Get your soul food. It will bless your whole soul.
All right. So did you have, you know, was food a big part of your family experience?
It was, yes. I just, you know, I grew up in an old home. When we moved in with my grandmother, it was the home my grandparents bought in the 50s. And so it's this old home with like the retro wallpaper and the old carpet. And so I just remember Thanksgiving, being this huge thing where my grandmother would cook macaroni and cheese and dressing and yams and fried chicken, all these different things. You know, and my one regret is not getting the recipes, but I think my mom has a few. But yeah, I mean, it's definitely a part of being around the table and fellowshipping. That was a huge part of what brought the family together, even when there were feuds. And, you know, if you just set some food on the table and sat down, that made everything better.
It's the peacemaker. Food,
right,
food.
The peacemaker.
Yeah.
Yes, always.
unless it comes down to like the last roll, then
right now that right the last roll, then you might have a little fight going on.
Yeah, it
or starts, the last pound cake slice.
Yeah, it starts reigniting old fights and
right. Yeah, so
that's
either
the fun
or
stuff. Yeah. All right, well, Sharon, let's just keep cruising on to the next one. And this one's for any new listeners. We start with something a little entry level, and then we keep going like a level deeper just so we can learn more and more about our guests. So let's go a level deeper, and if we knew you, we would know.
Ooh, a little deeper. Okay, so I'll just say the first thing that comes to mind. I won't overthink it. If you knew me, you would know that I love fashion and I love thrift shopping. And it's so much more than just spending money. I really think that we are all walking art, and I just have a heart for styling women. And also every album, well, I've only put out one album, but I did all of the styling for my album. I didn't have a stylist. I didn't hire one. So I love putting together outfits and fashion, and one day I'd love to start a fashion line. But music is my main focus now. And I actually have a dream. I've been dreaming up with a friend, and I won't give away the name because she'll kill me. But no, she and I have been dreaming up of just like this brand for women that are coming out of the prison system and for their daughters. Where they're making clothes, and so the brand would be, we have a name, she has a name, and just so that there's a purpose with it, because I think, yeah, a lot of, you know, times girls whose mothers end up in prison, you know, they don't have a lot of direction, and this could be a way, you know, them making clothes, them making jewelry items, and then we would, you know, obviously sell and be able to give back in that way. So yeah, I fashion is something that, if you know me, you know I might test the boundaries with like crazy outfits. Nothing crazy revealing, but I just like expressing through clothes. I think it's fun and just another way to show kind of your personality.
Well, you were you might be already thinking to mention this, but it just made me think of the question. You were on
America's Got Talent. Yes.
So when you were on America's Got Talent, did you pick out your outfit, or was there a stylist that just like had a wardrobe of stuff that you had to choose from, or that they made, you know, they set up your outfits? How did that all work behind the scenes?
That's right. That's a really, really good question, because there was, I think, one episode where I wore this white number with gold and a cape, and I cannot take credit for that. They custom made it.
Oh, wow.
The first audition, I put together my outfit, the very first audition. If you know, I don't know who watches the show, but by the grace of God, I was able to get the golden buzzer. And that episode, I styled myself, and I actually, really funny, well, it wasn't funny at the time, but I wore my lucky earrings, or my favorite earrings that I got a few years back at a thrift store, and they just very one of a kind. And Mel B, the judge who gave me the golden buzzer, she runs on stage and gives me this hug. And I'm like, what's happening right now? This is crazy. And she knocks the earring out of my ear. And to this day, I never found it. I said, you know what? I said, you know what? It's life when you lose one thing, but then I got through.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know what? I got through this round. So if I have to give up something to get through,
yeah, It served its purpose.
Right. It served. So it's somewhere in Radio City Music Hall, I'm sure.
Just but, a little piece of you left behind. That's
right. That's a good. Yeah, that's true.
Give it that way, I guess.
Right. One day I hope to return. I hope so.
Yeah. What did that getting that golden buzzer and being on the show, how did your life change after that? Was it a change or was it just business as usual?
That's a really good question. At first it did. It was like being on this high. I mean, because it's just a whole nother world. Prior to that, I've, been working at Willow Creek and getting to do some really cool things there. And it's a big place. But this was live TV and, it's go, go, go. But I was very surprised by that world. I mean, the people were really great and I didn't encounter any drama. I would say after, I was, I made it to the semifinals. And I stood next to the other contestant who was a ventriloquist, I believe. And he, made it through and I had to go home. It was a little like, okay, so now back to normal life. Mm-hmm. But what am I going to make of this? And in fact, I'm still uncovering the purpose of that, of my time on the show. Like, and it got us shown in different ways. Like, people that I met, because I had to stay in New York, so I'd go out and just explore the city and meet complete strangers. And so I think he was doing so much more. I met a friend who is now like one of my best friends in New York while I was there. There was just so many other things going on behind the scenes, and definitely more opportunities came about. But it's definitely what you make it. I mean, these shows are, it's like so many contestants and then you're out, and if you don't win, you kind of have to like leverage it yourself. Mm-hmm. So it's, but I'm definitely still like driving my little beat up car, but but I'm so grateful. I mean, it's all, it's perspective. Like for some little girl in Africa, that would have been the biggest thing she ever got to do in her life. So I try to keep it in perspective. And I want to go. And I still haven't, I'm not on a label and I don't all these things. But, I think I have to remember, like, that was a great opportunity. And I'm still making of it, figuring out the purpose.
Well, it's such a bizarre show, too, in that, like you just said, like a ventriloquist went the next level. And it's like, these are such different genres of entertainment. It's hard to even like gauge their, it's interesting.
It's so hard. And then it's like, right. And people, people love great. Like there was a guy who swallowed knives that was his talent. And people find that stuff so interesting. Yeah. So it's like, how do I compete with a knife swallower?
Right. How does his craft sustain
him? Right.
These are the questions.
These are the questions. I need answers. I'm like, I picked the wrong line.
Yeah. Like, all right, how do I join the circus?
it's crazy.
So funny. All right, Sharon. Well, let's go another level deeper and learn more about you as a person. If we knew you, we would know.
Ooh, if you knew me, you would know that I... let's see. I sort of alluded to this earlier, that I was raised by my grandmother. Mm-hmm. My mother worked and was a single mom. So my grandmother was with us during the day and pick us up from school. And so my mom was very much present, but she had to work. So grandma was like second mom.
Yeah.
And, she passed in, 2000, I believe it was 2014. Mm-hmm. And she's the first person close to me that I've ever lost. And it was right around the time when I started working on my album. And I was just in the thick of it and trying to raise money for it. And she passed right kind of in the middle of all of that. Yeah. And it was a really, really painful time. Mm-hmm. I was there when she passed away in the home.
Yeah.
And so I think, you know, anybody that knows me knows that I have a special place in my heart for grandmothers. She was very feisty, very direct. I've always been a little bit more shy and an introvert, believe it or not. And, you know, she really reminded me to keep my head up high, to not shrink back. And, you know, I hope she sees, you know, she died just 1 year before I did the America's Got Talent. And I know she would have been just on cloud nine.
Oh,
so,
man.
Yeah. So that relationship is very special to me. Mm-hmm. And I still have her. I was able to keep some things of hers that, you know, remind me of her, but you know, there's nothing like the person.
Right.
So yeah, it's definitely, I'm grateful that I had that. I mean, you know, I didn't have the traditional household of mom and dad, but mm-hmm. I wouldn't trade that, you know, because mm-hmm. I got to learn from her wisdom, you know, and my mom. And then when I was with my dad, so it was like, instead of looking at it like a loss, it's more of like, I just got the best of both worlds.
Yeah.
With having her around. And yeah, yes. Yeah. Very special relationship with her. And I miss her.
Yeah. I understand that experience.
Yeah. Yeah.
From you were sharing, you know, we were having a side conversation before we hit record, and you've had a lot of pretty significant influences that have shaped you. And I'd love to hear more. You were talking about your grandpa, and I'd love to hear about him as well, and his life years ago, and how that's impacted you today, particularly what's been going on in our country.
Could
you speak to that at all?
Absolutely. Yeah. My grandfather was a special man. He was a Baptist preacher and an activist and a just a lover of everyone. I mean, he talked to you no matter who you were, where you were from. And I was very, very young, you know, when we spent time together. So my memories are vague, but it's like the quote, you may not remember the person, but you remember how they made you feel.
Yes.
And I just remember I'd spend, days with him. And we'd go from one place to the next, and we'd spend like an hour at the gas station because he'd be talking to strangers there. And then an hour at the, you know, supermarket. And my mom said he used to pray over me in the car. And he never had sons, and he always wanted to kind of carry on that legacy. And she believes he imparted something in me. He was a prolific writer. He wrote poetry and sermons. But the thing that really stands out and is really remarkable is that he would lead marches with Dr. King. And there's a picture of him standing right next to Martin Luther King. And he's got his mouth open, and he's singing the battle hymn of the Republic. And there's, you know, a sea of people behind him, black, white, you know, Hispanic, all from all over. And it's just a beautiful picture. And I think if he were here today, he'd still be out in the trenches. He'd be trying to bridge. He was a bridge builder. And at that time, you know, when things were segregated, we couldn't go certain places as black men and women, he would break the rules and not to cause commotion, but to extend love. I mean, he just had a huge heart. You couldn't, you know, and he had a fiery spirit about him, a conviction where, you know, it was almost like a righteous indignation. And so, you know, we have so far to go. And, but I just think about his legacy and the foundation that he and so many others laid, and the hard work they put in. And I think that's why it's so disheartening when I see the division in the, you know, in the world, because it's like, man, people fought for so hard for us.
Right.
We can't get along, you know? So, but yeah, just his legacy of being a bridge builder. I definitely feel that in my own life right now is a calling, you know, to step into spaces and build bridges and be a reconciler. And the Bible calls us to that, you know, to reconcile. So, yeah, just an amazing legacy there. And big voice, you know, big heart, and using music. Music was such a part of his ministry. You know, he would sing just as much as he preached. And I really believe that music heals, because he healed so many people through his voice, and not holding back. And it really fuels me. I think about his bravery and how he stepped out in a time where it was really dangerous to step out. And so how much more, you know, I can't walk in fear if he was able to do that. So, yeah.
Wow, that's pretty incredible to have that kind of legacy that is your heritage.
Amen. Yeah, it's a blessing. It really is. Yeah.
Well, Sharon, I keep up with you on your social media.
Yeah.
And I see just how I feel like you let people in just enough, and I love that. But it makes me wonder. I'm like, okay, this woman is working really hard. Like she's on the go a lot. I'm like, what? So my question, I did not prep you for, is just like, when you have downtime, when you're not performing or not leading worship,
yes,
what's your favorite thing to do in your downtime?
Ooh,
on your days off?
That's a really good question. Yeah, I'm always on the go and driving back and forth between Michigan and Chicago. Chicago's home, but I'm based in Michigan right now. And I definitely enjoy laughing. Like I said earlier, I love to eat. I think on a day off, like for me, you will see me with a scarf on and a hoodie and some jogging pants and, you know, just being with family and friends. I really love I love just spending time with family and friends. I'm not a big like on a day off, like let's go to the museum. Like I'm pretty low key.
Okay.
Because I'm always in front of people, I'm just like, I just want to lounge and take in a good sermon, and I, you know, just feed myself. Because a lot of times I'm at events and I don't get to listen to the message or hear the words.
Yeah.
Right. So I have to feed my soul, like, on my downtime, so that I'm able to, you know, step back in. But, yeah, I love him. I'm a summer girl. This summer I've been going to a lot of music festivals and, you know, just being outdoors. I love the water. I love being near the water. So it's the balance, though, is so hard, because it's like I love what I do so much that it sometimes doesn't always feel like work. And so on a day off, I'm like, let me create something. But I'm like, no, let me just, you know, take a real Sabbath and not do anything. But yeah, I definitely love what I do, and I love music and being with other musicians and jamming out. I have a lot of great friends who play music, and so it's an interesting place that I'm in now. I mean, there's a lot of growing pains too. You know, I'm figuring a lot of things out in life, and so just trying to stay close to my community as much as possible and not do things in isolation.
Yeah. That could be easy to really retreat.
Right.
And sometimes it's healthy and necessary, but like you said, the balance.
Right, the
striking
balance.
That rhythm and balance.
Absolutely.
Okay, another question just
came
to
mind. Yes, please. Bring them on. I'm like, come on.
Okay, I once heard that a ritual, I don't know if ritual is the right word, that Amy Grant used to do before she'd perform. She would eat like greasy potato chips to kind of lubricate her vocal cords. I don't know if you've ever heard that one.
Oh, yes.
But I wonder what's your ritual before getting on stage?
Oh, yes. I actually do the same thing. And what's funny, I didn't even know she did that. So I eat Lay's potato chips.
Ah, okay.
Right. And it works. I don't know what made me start doing that. But when I found out that she did it, I was like, if Amy Grant, I'm like, okay, this is definitely legit. But people always laugh at me because I have like so many different things. And part of it is because I, you know, had a vocal like injury and I had to really like learn, and I still, you know, it's kind of off and on. And so I had to figure out all these different remedies, and one of them was pineapple juice. I always drink pineapple juice before I sing. It's like it's anti-inflammatory. So that's it's anti-inflammatory. Obviously lots of water. I don't have any crazy, like, you know, I usually do like jumping jacks or things backstage. I still get really nervous, and I think so breathing, like deep breathing before I go on. But yeah, I have these things called slippery elm, and I put pop one of those in. You know, I tell you, I have like a list of 10 different things that I items like slippery elm, pineapple juice, the Lay's potato chips, no cheese, can't do cheese because that's gonna I'll sound like a singer with lots of stuff in her throat. Love it though, I love cheese.
just not on performance
just not on
worship
performance
days.
Right. Don't feed me any pizza. So yeah, it's like an athlete going into the game, going, you
yeah.
know, that's kind of what it is. Cause it's the vocal cords are a muscle just like any other muscle. And so you gotta keep them strong and rest. Like I can't do, like in my early 20s, I could, you know, sing on 2 hours. I can't do it. I have to get my rest.
Oh, so, my like, gosh.
If not, I'll have this raspy tone, which people are like, oh, that sounds really cool. But I'm actually a little raspy now because I you know, today was kind of like a chill day in the morning, and I didn't vocalize. So if you hear a little bit of rasp, that's what it is. But yeah, I love it, though. I love, you know, getting to educate other singers, because people, I'm like the go-to. I'm telling you, all my friends are like, what do you do for this? And steaming. I have my steamer.
Okay.
Right? With all the steam coming out backstage. So I'm not being a diva. It's just this stuff works.
No. It works. You know what works.
I know it works. I know it's going to get me the right, you know, get me to where I need to be.
Do you use any essential oils when you steam?
Yes.
Yeah.
I love essential. I'm lavender, you know, peppermint. And I also use them at night just to, like, do you do that? Like, kind of fill
the
room?
Oh, yeah. I diffused last night. Yeah.
Really?
Because I had a little bit of a sinus thing going on. Yep. And so I did some eucalyptus and peppermint.
Nice.
Usually I like to add a little lemongrass to it as well.
I need to try that.
Yeah, it's a nice combo, the three of those together, but I was out of my lemongrass. So just the eucalyptus and peppermint. And yeah, I like to do that as well.
I actually have some lemongrass. I haven't used it yet because I wasn't sure how to blend it. But
try those three together.
Yeah, I will. I will. I love it. Sorry, got on a tangent. But
no, they're loving it. They're writing it down.
Yes, guys. Get you some lemongrass, some eucalyptus, lavender, frankincense.
Oh, yeah. That one's expensive.
It is.
You got to use that one sparingly.
Right. Exactly. Right. One drop. Just one.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Oh my gosh.
Well, this has been a lot of fun. I feel like we definitely are getting to know you better. Is there any like last bit of information or knowledge you can share with our listeners about who you are and maybe what?
Oh,
any last words?
Any last bits? Well, first of all, find me on social media. I love to hear from people. I really do. Like, I don't just say that. I'm a tender soul. And so I'm the type of person, even if I've never met you, we get to talking, I might burst into tears just here. Cause it's like, I don't know, everything just moves, you know. I think it's just the stage of life that I'm in. I just have a different level of appreciation for people's stories and how the greatest resource on earth is other human beings and like how we can learn from each other. And I think just, I don't know. I ask that, you know, you guys pray for me. This is like stepping into new beginnings with my music. And, you know, it took some time for me to get the confidence to lead. And this past year, God has just blown my mind with I used to think, you know, the worship leader was like the dude with the guitar. And it's like, you know, no, like I have just as much of an authority and like presence as a woman. Yes. And so I'm really, really excited about what's coming up and just giving it my all, giving it 100%. Because I think the world, like you said earlier, one of the things that's like growing up in the inner city, I can't turn a deaf ear to the violence. Chicago, I think we still have the highest rate in gun violence. And so I really, really want to be a voice with the voiceless. And so, you know, just keep me in your prayers. Figure out.
Yeah, because you have a platform, you know, like not just,
yeah,
you know,
exactly.
In a lot of ways, you have a platform that
right.
You can use for good.
For good, right, right. And then it's like there are things that I feel burning inside. It's like if I say that, I may, you know, stir up the pot. And I, you know, but just courage to say the things that God wants me to say. Because I think we all struggle with using our voice. And it's like, okay, I need, it's like that song, You Make Me Brave. I've been listening to that on repeat. Like that song, I think it's by Amanda Cook, and it's called Brave. You make me brave. You make me brave. You call me out beyond the shore to the waves.
Yeah.
Woof. Like,
yeah.
That is, you know, that's it. And to know that I'm not going out there alone, you know, is so important, you know? So, yeah, I'm having such a good time. I could talk for forever, but I know.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that just made, okay, one more question.
Yes.
That just made me, you got me. Who are you, like, what are you listening to right now? What are some music recommendations for our listeners that you could make?
Yes, absolutely. Well,
first, of course, your new album. Yes, absolutely.
Thank you. Yes, please support independent music. It's out. Bennett Ave, that's the street I grew up on. That's the name of the album. It's on the south side of Chicago, but it's available everywhere. If you find me on social, Sharon Irving Music at Instagram, Sharon Irving on Twitter. But otherwise, I have been, like I said, I've been listening to a lot of Amanda Cook. I just love her songwriting and how vulnerable and raw it is. Willow Creek just released an EP that I had the honor of singing on, and it's called Only God, and the song that I'm singing, which is actually my favorite song to lead right now, it's called Who Is Like the Lord. That is like on repeat. Who else? You know, I listen to everything. I mean, I don't just listen to worship. I draw inspiration from, there's an artist, Janelle Monae, who I really love. She's super creative and fun, Solange. You know, I also rap and I have hip hop roots. Lauryn Hill, I'm sure, you know, she's a throwback, but I still play her Miseducation album from life.
Yeah. It's a big part of my life.
Is it?
But,
yes.
You know,
mine too.
How many years ago? 14,
I know.
15? I don't
know. Is it really?
20, it's maybe 20. Oh my gosh.
Has it been 20 years? Oh my gosh.
I was afraid to say that. I was afraid to think that I'm that old. Yeah, I guess I'd be like 97.
I can't. That is like, okay. I'll tell you what. If you guys follow me on Spotify, I'm always creating playlists.
Oh,
and so
yes.
Maybe I'll do one for this. Like if we.
Yes. Oh, yes.
That'd
yes,
be
yes,
so
yes, yes.
fun, right? Okay.
I love that.
Okay.
Please do.
Yes.
Cool. All right, Sharon, this is a good time to wrap it up so I don't ask any more questions. And I really want to leave our listeners wanting more.
Yes.
And so they can follow along on social media and then find those playlists on Spotify.
Yes.
And just get more influence from our worship leader that'll join us at Arise and Shine. I'm so excited.
Yes, I am so excited. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
This is
yes.
fun.
Thank you for joining me and giving me a part of your day. And I'm thrilled that you'll be with us.
Woo!
Thanks, Sharon.
Thank you. Love you guys.
Thanks for listening, and I hope that you enjoyed this episode. Keep coming back each month as we are hoping to meet with all of our Rise and Shine guests in the coming months. visit www.centralwomenarise.com to find out more about the Arise and Shine Women's Conference, the registration costs, location, and more. See you next month.